Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ant Farm Podcast. You already know I'm your host, Ann Nixon. And I got my boy, smart motherfucker, all right, engineer, you know what I'm saying? All that good shit, Clemson graduate. You know what I mean? You wearing the wrong shit. Unfortunately, he's a Duke fan. Y'all know him from the Pickup Podcast with me and a few others. I got Marcus Coleman, Cole World, in the building. Not in my building, but in a building. You know what I'm saying? We going to go ahead and post-production the claps and shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
And we're going to talk about a few things. It's probably going to go from the topics we got to, you know, a little left and right. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we do. But I will say he's one of the smartest dudes I know. You know what I'm saying? And we were talking about this documentary, and it really spawned this this episode, though I did want to get him on before. So we're going to start off with some light shit, you know, just some regular shit, and then we're going to get into some more serious topics, you know what I mean? Because that's what we do. We're about balance over here, you know what I mean? We're going to have fun. We're going to learn. We might even cry a little bit, get emotional. We might yell. We're going to do a little bit of everything. It's 3D over here, baby. You know what I'm saying? So first, man. We're going to get into, like, some Twitter shit, man. Whose fault is it when there's bad sex in a relationship? And this was inspired, I believe, when I put some of these topics together by something I seen on Twitter. Some of these are, and some of these is just, you know, newsworthy things. I wanted to ask you that, you know what I mean? In a relationship, you know, people, especially when people break up, they'll be like, yo, the dick was trash, your pussy dry, feel like cardboard, shit like that. You know, all kind of insults happen when people break up, whether they're true or not.
Of course.
In a relationship, you know what I mean? In a relationship, whether that's a committed one or just a sexual one, whose fault is it, man? It's bad sex.
I'm going to lean heavily towards saying that it's normally the woman's fault for not communicating what she needs.
Oh, you know they about to come for you.
Explain. I don't care. So everyone says the whole, like, women are the gatekeepers to sex, this, that, and the third. You know, most men, they come in, they got one thing on their mind. That is the man's fault, but most women know that. So if you want to be treated a certain way, because every woman's different, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's very delicate. You know, things that might knock it out the park for one woman might not be it for another woman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's coming, a guy can come in thinking he's knocking it out the park because that's what he's used to. You could have a whole different set of standards. If you don't communicate that, and we're talking about, in my perspective, we're talking about a relationship, like long term. So if you are allowing this to go on, that's a lack of communication on my opinion. You're not communicating what you want, so nothing's changing. You're just letting shit be trash. You can throw it back in someone's face. But if you do communicate and then it just never gets better, then, hey, it's still your fault. You pick bad sex, niggas. Like,
so, You pick niggas with bad sex. So what do you think, you know, like, the, you usually run into women, and it's not a usual thing, but I have met women that were in their, like, mid-20s who had never had sex before. Yeah. Not that they were ugly or anything like that. They, I guess they buy into, like, the religious thing of not having sex until you're married or whatever. So I knew this woman that I actually ended up dating later. We won't say her name. Some people that we know this woman. But I used to know this woman. We were just cool. But she did let me know, like, that she was a virgin, saving herself to marriage or whatever. And then maybe some years passed, and she randomly hit me and was like, I did it. And I was like, what? She was like, I had sex. Shout out to you. I won't say your name. And I know you hate me. But I was like, okay. Yeah. And actually, I ended up dating her very, very briefly, which so I ended up dating her. And before I ended up dating her, she told me the dude before me she had sex with or whatever. And she basically said it was like her and her friend both hadn't had sex. They were in their probably like mid-20s for, I guess, the same reason, religious beliefs or whatever. And I used to tell her when we were cool, like, yo, that's not realistic. It's not a realistic thing. Not that it's not realistic that you keep your virginity, but it's not realistic to think that you can not do something your whole life and then you'll get married and be able to do it good. Right? And a lot of people, I've heard women argue that, oh, love will conquer that. You know, that's not a realistic thing. Love won't make me get off. I could love the shit out of you. But if I have certain needs, if I need my balls lifted while you slobbing me down, if you can't do that, love will not make that happen. You know what I'm saying?
Communicate that, though. And you'll be patient enough to let that ride until she learns. I guess is what that's supposed to mean. But look, sometimes in the moment, like, the moment's the moment. Like,
sometimes you just want what you want.
Do or die. You do it now.
Yeah, because I'm more of a spontaneous type of person when it comes to sex in a relationship or otherwise, really. I don't like that, like, planning. We gonna plan to have sex. It's, like, there's parents who do that and whatnot. And maybe they have to do that, but that doesn't do it for me. That is very much the opposite of how I like to do things sexually and shit. I like for it to be spontaneous. So, you know, at the time, I want what I want, and I understand at the beginning of something that you might not know exactly what I need to do that, you know what I mean? Me, personally, I like to try to, if it's a relationship or someone I care about, and it's not just like a fling, a little quick thing that night or whatever, I like to make sure they're taken care of first, and then I get mine, whatever I need to bust, you know? That's what I normally, typically like to do. But that whole, like, I do agree with the whole, like, you know, love someone, have patience. Some niggas don't, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I don't have patience, you know what I mean? But I think it definitely, we could be trash. Some people don't take guidance well. Some people don't know how to guide during sex either. Like, I've had women who can be like, hey, stick the tongue right here. Bam, stay right there. Bam, or hey, hit that spot at that angle right there. And they can communicate it where it doesn't ruin the mood.
Yeah,
and it keeps it going, and you could take that as like constructive guiding, as opposed to nigga, what you doing? Or nah, you need to do this or that. Depending on how you are and how the other person is, it could definitely ruin the mood too.
Easily, you know what I mean? Quick, in a hurry.
Yeah, you know,
not a roadblock that you know I've experience, but you know what I'm saying, just I can see how that goes.
Dude,
but
there's
at the end of the day, I feel like you got people that, you know, they're not communicating what they want, or two, like I said, it's just come down to one of you not communicating or you're picking terribly, because niggas are gonna be niggas. They gonna fuck what they fuck, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of niggas are take what they can get.
that is true.
It's like a blanket majority, not everybody, because I mean, obviously there are niggas that be picking and choosing and can do what they want, but most niggas are take what they get, and if you are what they get, then sometimes you gotta look yourself in the mirror and be like, look, are you attracting, are you hunting good sex niggas, or are you just giving them what they can get?
Do you think that kind of goes to like a person who's like an attention detail type of person who pays attention? I mean, I ain't no sex expert. And I told one woman, she asked me, I thought it was stupid ass questions like, are you good at sex? To me, it's no different than asking me, do I got a big dick? Like, it depends on who you ask, really. You know what I'm saying? It depends on who you ask. You know what I'm saying? I told her, I was like, yo, on the average, I do good. I have some off days. Even MJ had like some 15-point games, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It might be a false start, you know what I'm saying? A time or two here and there, maybe once every like, you know, 30 of them or something. I don't know. But most of the time, I'm pretty good. You know what I mean? But that also, like I said, depends on who you ask. You know what I'm saying? I've met chicks. Yeah, like I know women. I feel like women, or men too, probably. I'm sorry, never had sex with a man. Never had a desire to. So I can only speak of women. They're like puzzles. When you first try sex, you might have a strategy for a lot of puzzles. Maybe you put the corners together first, or whatever the case may be. But you got to figure out that puzzle. You know what I'm saying? You got to put that shit together and figure it out. And I think for every woman, they're a different puzzle. It might be for a familiar puzzle, but you still got to figure out that particular puzzle. And it helps.
But I always say, you can't learn women, learn your women.
Absolutely, man.
You cannot learn women as a blanket majority. You can't do it. You have to learn your woman. Yeah. Or whoever's in that moment with, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one that you need to, whatever you got to focus on that. You be like, oh, I do this all the time. Nigga, that don't always work.
Like, yeah.
That's like, I will say there is a large percentage of niggas that are the problem consistently because they don't want to learn. But yeah. I'll say, like, going back to the original, I think it's mostly on women having expectations, and when they're not met, they don't know how to bridge that gap. So.
Yeah. Definitely, there are some niggas who just use the same template, like, right? And I mean, that's a default to go to that, but if you're going to be, like, actually having a relationship or having sex with this person on a consistent basis, it's, you're going to, if you're smart, you're going to want to have a conversation, or even while you're smashing, be like, you like that, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third, whatever you do, you know what I'm saying, whatever your thing is, how you get, me personally, women to me have a nice voice, so that's when you just get right in the air, and be like, yeah, girl, yeah, you get that boys to men, fourth nigga, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you like that, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to slow that down, yeah, I don't be saying, yeah, I promise you, I don't be saying all that, but I do be saying some of that shit. You know what I mean? You gotta get up in that ear, man. Eargasms. But anyway, listen, man. You gotta communicate. Oh, yeah. I think the moral of this is communication. I feel like sometimes you feel awkward when meeting someone and having that like sex talk. Because it almost implies that you expect sex, right? And I never really do that. I never, like, be like, oh, I'm expecting this. You know what I mean? Like, I go on this date, I'm expecting to hit this or whatever the case may be. And I'm sorry if you're offended by me talking this way, but nigga, we talking how we talk. You feel me on over here? I never go with those expectations or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I have noticed that I have better sex with people that we have some kind of discussion first. You know what I'm saying? Of whether course. It's about protection, maybe stuff you like. You know, I know women who, they get off on you choking the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? They have to tell me that. You know what I mean? You have to tell a dude that. You know what I mean? You could tell him that during sex, but it'd be great if you tell him before that, you know what I'm saying? So that he know, you know, at a certain point, I need to choke the shit out of her. You feel me? Me personally?
That's a perfect example of something that you can't put, like, in your base template. That is not for everybody. There's mm-hmm. some people that will dial 911 on you and say, yo, what the fuck was this not trying to do to you? You know
Trevor
what I'm saying?
Bauer. Yeah, Trevor Bauer.
I mean, hey, man.
Some people are into what they're into and some people ain't. You know, like me. I think I've come to the conclusion that I came to this conclusion like probably this summer or earlier this year. The whole social justice warriors on social media, like, I'm done with that. I'm done reposting. I think it was what did it for me was the whole campaign for Asians where they were getting attacked and people were basically, you know, doing the whole, like, you know, stop Asian hate and stuff like that, which I'm obviously for. I don't think any group should be attacked or discriminated against just because they exist. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't happen. But I started seeing people post it, and I definitely wasn't. And and I don't know, I just stopped and thought about it, and I was like, what is this doing? Like, I really stopped and was like, if I post this, a person who hates Asians, is this going to stop them from hating Asians? right? I really have to sit there and think about that, right? And that might be some most obvious thing that you can come to a conclusion and be like, yeah, like, what is this doing, right? Any, no different than a George Floyd protest with a, you know, a social media post about that or anything else that's happened in this country recently or in history, right? And I was like, it's doing nothing. Like, if you hate Asians, me posting this on my story is not going to stop you from hating Asians. This is doing nothing. This is just really me, like, sending a bad signal saying I'm with y'all. But am I, like, am I going to do anything out of the ordinary? No, I had to ask myself, not that I'm not with them in support, like, on a moral standpoint, but am I actually doing anything, like, to help them? Like, I'm not guarding Asian businesses and making sure they don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm not walking an Asian lady to a car or anything like that or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, if I saw something happening to an Asian person and I knew it was strictly because they're Asian, I would try to stop it. But me posting this shit is doing nothing. I even had this conversation with my daughters like last summer because she posts stuff and I didn't want to discourage her from, like, you know, being involved in issues, but I was like, you know, you posting stuff, but are you learning about, like, the actual issues and the history of stuff, or are you just kind of following along where everyone else is doing? You know what I mean? And so I came to the conclusion, I'm not doing this shit no more, whether it's for Black people, Asian people, gay people, whoever, Americans, whoever. I'm not doing it. Only way I'll do it is if I'm doing groundwork. You know what I'm saying? If I'm actually out here in these streets and then promoting that stuff, you know, and trying to get more people involved. So that is my whole social justice warrior rant or take or whatever you want to call it. I'm not doing it anymore. I would recommend y'all stop doing it because it's doing nothing. It's not actually, it for the most part, it's not doing anything. We made people aware of certain stuff. Once they're aware, usually they do the same thing we're doing, post it, and that's it. What's your thoughts on that? And how do you conduct yourself on social media?
So right at the very end is where I was getting ready to come in at. So awareness is one thing, right? There's a lot of people. I would like to say I'm joking, but I kind of not joking when I say this all the time. I say it to y'all and I say it to my friends, but I guess it's the first time I actually will put it out there. I truly believe that a good 90% of Americans are below average intelligence, if I'll say that, like respectfully, right? Not all their fault, just they're ignorant to a lot of things. They don't know. Like, they genuinely do not know. So there's things that, you know, when you post about things that they've not seen before, that they have might be misconstrued based on their upbringing or whatever, letting them know what's going on is one thing. And it just gets to a point where, like we've talked about it on the sports pod, right? Colin Kaepernick with the knee. Taking the knee during the anthem brought awareness to a topic that was largely not discussed on, you know, sports platforms until he did it. And then when he did it, it was everywhere for weeks and weeks on end. And then we're seeing foundations getting donations and stuff like that. And there was actual groundwork being done to help communities and stuff. And that was cool. And then didn't take very long. Then the conversation started to turn. And now it's just an antic, right? It's just an antic. And so you keep posting and posting. And now you're talking about the antic of it. You're not even talking about what's originally going on. So it's like, well, what is it doing to keep doing it? You know what I'm saying? It's not really doing the intended purpose anymore. So that's just kind of how I feel. Like, once it gets to the purpose where you've reached the awareness, you're really reaching the ignorant people. You're not reaching the true hate. The true hateful people are not going to change their hate based on social media. It's the ignorant people who don't know better or who don't know, they don't recognize when they're seeing something that's wrong all the time. Because, you know, a lot of people will witness something and be like, all right, whatever, that happened. And be like, no, that didn't just happen the way you think it did. This is why this is wrong. And when you explain, oh, okay, that's why it's wrong, then maybe they'll do something, or, you know, something will be done to deter that situation from happening in the future. Those are the people that you're trying to reach. But I feel like once you, you know, reach that threshold, beating it with a dead horse is just not it.
Yeah.
And there are certain publications, there are certain people who make their entire platforms, their entire livelihood off of just beating the dead horse, milking that cash cow, because it's basically just yellow journalism at this point, just sensationalism, and people are getting dollars off of that. That's what I don't like. It's profiting, the monetization of it. It just doesn't sit right. Doesn't seem ethical after a certain point, because we've reached the threshold of awareness. So if nothing's done on the ground, if you're Sean King scamming people and then disappearing off social media, I don't know.
Yeah, like, let's address him while you brought him up, because I remember my homegirl Dre put me onto some of his antics, and then I listened to a podcast called Woke Bros. Really good pod. It's in layman's terms. Politics and stuff. It really is. And I think it drops like every Wednesday or Thursday. Y'all should check that out. And they break down, they've broken down like Sean King being a scammer and stuff. Do not listen to this dude at all. Like, just I think I muted him out for everything on social media. Like, he's a clown. I mean, he might say some stuff that's true or whatever, but he is a clown and a scammer. You know what, with the whole like media stuff, I'm definitely going to address that when we get to this documentary, because like Fox News at my gym there, most gyms, they'll have all these different news outlets on there. I have like ESPN, dude. Every morning I go to the gym, Fox News is pushing this agenda. And I know people are like, duh, you know what I mean? But I don't watch Fox News. Like, I see clips. I used to see clips and see the nasty shit they do. But I see, like, just the headlines. I don't even hear it. I'm just on, like, a bike or whatever, and I see it. And I just see how they just angle things to just drive this narrative. You know, it's a whole conservative, Republican, far-right narrative that they're just driving, so they'll pick something. It's not even news. It really isn't even news. It's just picking little things and then driving that narrative. Picking little things. It's like this conversation. If we wanted to say that Marcus and Ant fault women for everything, right? Fault women for everything. We could take these clips of this conversation, take parts, and then just drive it. Just drive that narrative. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Fox News does, and probably CNN. I don't watch news networks. I see stuff, headlines, and then I go research. Like, if I'm interested in it. You know what I mean? So that's what I do. Like, if I see a headline, sometimes I do like everyone else, and I react to headlines when you shouldn't. You should go read whatever that is and really find out what that's about, and then go find about two or three other sources if you really care about whatever that topic issue is, and see what you find, right? So that shit, I'm more like, when I find an organization that I believe in, that I believe are doing things, real things, not for social media, but for real, in real life, I will align myself with that, and I'll be in the streets or volunteering my time or whatever the case may be, or even if it's just from a media perspective, going and shooting town hall meetings or whatever the case may be. I'm down to do that. But what I'm not down to do is do empty shit. You know what I'm saying? Signing petitions online and shit like that. I'm done with that shit. All I do is get spam emails and text messages out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's not, maybe some of that stuff makes little changes, but I don't see it as a whole as being a thing. But on another social media point, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on social media and its impact on relationships. I do think social media has warped reality for some, not even just relationships, but as a whole of life and how things work in reality, but especially in relationships. I see that. I also see how certain people use social media. I mean, how they, their philosophy on relationships and social media. Like, some people, I usually say, well, women, they'll say, yo, I'm never posting my guy because these hoes is messy, right? Fam. So my whole thing with that is like, if your man is a dog, he gonna be a dog with or without social media, with or without you posting him. Men have been dogs well before social media, well before smartphones. Your grandpa got a whole other family on the other side of town or around the corner.
I respect that woman because she will let him be a dog in peace.
Right?
If he just don't embarrass her out loud. If he don't embarrass her, she at least saves herself the out loud part.
Behind closed doors. I mean, obviously that's a particular type of woman that's just like, just don't embarrass me. Do you think a woman whose idea or mentality is just don't embarrass me, is that a good woman normally? I guess a good woman to be in a relationship. I don't want to say like they're a bad human being or anything like that, but as far as like a relationship, is that normally like a good woman?
It comes from experience. I mean, whatever their previous experiences. I mean, because a lot of times that comes from a place where they've been in, I don't want to say, maybe traumatic experiences. It could be like something as small as getting cheated on to something like abuse or something like that. And be like, hey, look, just, so sometimes the standard just, you know, just drops a little bit. And it's like, well, you're good enough to not do that and just don't embarrass me, you know, outside of that. You know what I'm saying? And I think, I don't want to say that's necessarily a bad woman to be with. It's just kind of this understanding where she's coming from with her experience.
Sometimes you get those women who you fuck with, like, not even on some romantic shit. They'll be like, dude's just, like, they see it from a nigga perspective. Yeah. Like, sometimes you get that, and I'll be like, actually, you're probably ahead of the game. But at the same time, sometimes you get that perspective, but it's more of, like, a submission. It's like, this is the best we could do is just have a dude who just doesn't embarrass us, right? He just cheats, like, you know, smartly or whatever, intelligently or whatever you want to call it, or picks women who just know their role or whatever the case may be to cheat with. I definitely...
It's not me condoning, by the way.
It's not what?
I'm not condoning it. Just one, let me be clear, I'm not condoning that's okay. I'm just acknowledging that it happens.
Absolutely. And that
we know how it happens.
Definitely. I've said this to many women, including the woman I am currently with. I don't think it's natural. I don't think monogamy is natural. I don't think that I can't do it. I just don't think it's natural. I think your natural inclination, if you're a man who attracts women, you know, that's relative to whoever, but you attract women, decent amount of women, and you actually have options. I don't think, like, when you go outside and you see a woman, a beautiful woman, that naturally you're not like, oh, my girl, oh, I don't want to fuck her because I have a girl. No, you don't want to fuck her because of the repercussions of having a girl and possibly getting caught.
I said those exact same words, that entire sentence, word for word, bar for bar, really? To my girl in a conversation like a week ago. I was like, yo, like, because what she asked me, she was like, when you cheat, no, she said, not when I cheat. Well, let me start that. She said, when guys
cheat. No, when, like, you cheat. Nah, you got it. When you cheat, go ahead.
She said, when guys cheat, she's like, does that mean that, she said, because she was saying something about how girls, when they cheat, they don't love their man no more. And I was like, well, that's not the case with men. And I was like, men, I'm not saying me. I'm just saying I know how it goes. Men can cheat on their girl and still be in love with her. But that does not, you know, just because of the fact that in that moment, you know, they're still in love with her. But if they feel like they can get away with the, you know, with the act, they might do it. Yeah. Most niggas aren't not cheating with their girl just because they love her. Just what you said, they're not cheating because of the repercussions. Oh, I don't want to fuck up this good relationship.
Yeah.
Or anything that comes with that, or like wife, kids, whatever. That's why they're not cheating. They're not cheating because, oh, I don't even find none of these other girls attractive because I got a girl. Like, that's not why that's happening. No. I said that, like, bar for bar, what you just said.
Yeah. Now, I will say there are times, I think, with a decent man that you'll be out and about and you can't see any women. Like, you just don't even look because, for one, you don't want to be tempted, but because you are, like, in love with your girl. But that only lasts for so long. You know what I'm saying? If you're in a place where there are women that are attractive, that actual, like, I don't see any other woman, like, you kind of almost have to always be in that mode. You know what I'm saying? Of, like, yo, I'm focused on my girl, so when I go to the gym, I don't even look at these hoes, right? But, yo, if you go to the gym on a regular...
There's a point where you're talking about women as a whole. Like, okay, obviously, you're talking about just looking, like, you know what I'm saying? Visually, you're gonna be attractive women, but you'd be like, man, I done seen her type before. I know she might be this, that, and the third, and that ain't got shit on my girl. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Other factors come into play, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Some women just be like, man, she look annoying. My girl ain't annoying, man. She just gonna piss me off. You know what I'm saying? And be like, man, I bet she got attitude problems. Or sometimes, like, you know, you see a girl, you might have a little chit chat, you know, small talk where you be like, yeah, she ain't it. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's not just all about looks. Like,
I know that sounds
cliche, but it really not. Because, like, when you put the whole package together, like, when you are in love, I will say the total package will be like, man, none of them got shit on my girl when you're in love like that. That's how I am. Like, I might be like, man, you might look all right, but I mean, I know in the back of my, I know you're not going X, Y, Z like my girl, so.
Yeah, and then I think about all the annoying women or incompatible women that I've, you know, been involved with, and I'm like, that motherfucker right there could be XYZ that I knew. You know what I mean? Like, she could be like, she, it might look good, but then afterwards she gonna be stalking me, or she gonna be blowing me up, or she's just annoying, or she's not intelligent, so she can't hold a fucking conversation, or whatever the case. All these different things you don't like, she could very well be all those things, and you just fucked up your relationship for some temporary, very temporary, like, fucking, I don't know, relief. You know what
and
I mean?
And then go back to the first topic. It could even be bad. What?
It could stink. it could be all kind bad. Of shit. It could feel like fucking sandpaper in that bitch. You know what I mean?
There's nothing that you could do. Like, to me, that's what I was saying. Like, when you are in love, like, you're not cheating because you're in love. But at the end of the day, you know, man, none of that shit's worth it because... It's still not her. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go home, you're like, yeah, that's her. You know, that's her right there. She's it. Well, if you really got it like that. Now, if you don't got it like that,
you're going to be faithful, or maybe because your ass know you can't do no better.
If you don't have those thoughts, it might not be that.
Yeah. And you know what? I told a guy I work with like a week or so ago, like, I seen this chick at Wawa's, and she was over here, young joint. You know what I'm saying? No bra, looking good. You know what I'm saying? And then she was like popping her ass in Wawa's and shit, waiting for her hoagie and shit. And I was in my head, as a nigga, I was like, you know, I had nigga thoughts. But then I when I went back to my job after I got my coffee or whatever the fuck I was getting, I told a dude, I was like, yo, seen this joint, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but you know what? Like, I sat here when I was single, going on all these dates, and I was like, man, I wish I could find XYZ girl. You know what I'm saying? And I really feel I did. I was like, that shit ain't fucking worth it. I'm a fucking clown if I go ahead and jeopardize all this shit, but I was sitting here talking to God, or even talking to my homeboys or my homegirls, or just in my head saying, like, yo, I wish I could find this woman. And then you find them, and then you just be like, you gonna ruin that shit for this young joint that you know would be annoying as fuck. You know it would be annoying as fuck and wouldn't be worth it. You know what I'm saying? At all.
It's not even about getting caught. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, ruining it isn't getting caught or anything. It's like, it's, you do it. The whole thing break the trust. That whole bond is kind of shaky now. Like, I don't know. I don't like the whole games of back and forth and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you get to that point where you realize, like, yo, like, that's it. Like, there shouldn't be anything else, because then you'll spend the rest of your time second guessing. And the dumbest shit that I ever heard, that I hear niggas say all the time in defense of themselves doing this, is, hey man, you never really know Sheeta won until you get out there and test it. Nigga, no, that is not how that works. I hear that shit all the time. Nigga, that's just you. First of all, she's not the one or anything close to that. She's not it for you, if that's how the way that you're thinking about, you know, moving with her. And two, like, you don't test that kind of shit and then think you can come out and skate. That shit don't work like that. Energy is real. Give and take. It's a whole cycle. Like, everything that you put out will come back to you in some form or fashion. Like, you might cheat on her and she not know, and she might become that baby mama that you hate for 18 years. You don't know,
yeah,
man.
You never, yeah. Before we get off this topic, I do want to ask about social media, because we started with, like, how there'll be women, because I really only see this with women. And ladies, if there's guys doing that, by all means, let me know. But women, you know, putting the fucking emojis over faces and, or being like, you know, I'm not going to post my dude because he's always messy. Like, to me, if you got to put an emoji over someone's face, don't post a picture. Unless it was just that dope of a picture, like, don't post a picture. You know what I'm saying? You really just trying to show us that you can actually get someone. That's really what that is, so you're insecure. But how do you feel about the whole, how do you feel? That's what it is, man. You're insecure. You're trying to prove to us that, that's my take on it. And I'll stand by that.
Yes, I'm right on line with you, man. You just trying to prove to everybody, hey, look, I am having sex.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Whoop, whoop. Congratulations. Get the post-production claps in. No.
What's your philosophy?
Need the world to know.
So my philosophy on just social media in general is kind of like, you know, we're here to be social. And you know what I'm saying? Talk to people. You know, reach out to different people, learn some shit from people, see what they're doing. It's us being kind of nosy with each other. It is attention. It is about attention. You're not on social media not for attention. There's levels to that, though. Like, at a minimum, you're on social media for attention. You know what I'm saying? And then there's levels to that shit. There's bad mental health illness levels to that attention all the way up here, right? So...
yeah.
With relationships, me personally, my thing is I'm on social media showing what I have no problem showing how I live. Whether that's how I eat, what I'm doing on a daily. Some people show them at work. I don't do that because I'm never going to put out where I work on social media unless I own the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Where I work. You're doing all this stuff. So then I also, part of that is, if I have a girl, you're going to see her. Like, we're going to be doing stuff together. I also am a photographer, videographer, director, and all that shit. So I'm going to take pictures of my girl. You know what I'm saying? And shit like that. So you're going to see that. Some people take that as showing off or trying to be like, look at me or whatever. I do think there's a level to that. Like, if you're posting your girl every fucking day, or anyone for that matter, your kids, whatever. Like, that'd be quick for me to unfollow you if, like, you're always posting one thing particular all the time. I'm probably going to unfollow you. But what's your thoughts on that? Do you post your girl? What's your thoughts on all that, like, with posting your girl or, like, what you're doing and what's too much and all that stuff?
All right, so I think it's just a personal taste thing. Everyone has their level of exposure that they'd like to, like you said, like, you're open, pretty open of outside of where you work, sharing your life on social media. For me, I'm not really as, I don't feel like I have to prove anything to anybody. As far as posting my girl relationship wise, like, yeah, like, post stories, pictures, whatever. I'm really bad about taking pictures. I don't. You're a photographer. I'm like the antithesis of that. I hate being in front of a camera. This is actually kind of giving me a little anxiety, honestly. Just being a little bit. I'm very conscious, I don't know, of being on camera and shit. But I mean, I know I look good and shit, but you know.
But, talk your shit. But I mean, talk your shit, nigga.
I don't know. It's just always something about the feeling of being watched or whatever. And kind of going back to that, I just don't want to feel like I'm my whole life's being watched. I mean, I participate in social media topics, you know, that I feel that I have some sort of valuable contribution to. Like, if I feel like, you know, I'll be watching anime, they talk about anime, okay, I can say some words here and there. You know, we joke, get some references and shit. I'm 100% here for the jokes across the board. I'm equal opportunity with jokes. All jokes are a go. As long, they just got to be funny. If they're funny, yeah, it's a go. Because everyone's going to get disrespected at some point. So, fuck it. That wasn't a joke. That was serious. Yeah, I'm going to disrespect somebody with every word I say at some point. So, I don't give a fuck. There's levels to that, but you know what I mean. But yeah, jokes, sports, of course, you already know we do the sports pod, mm-hmm, anime, stuff like that, across the board. Personal stuff, like where I live, I give the general area so people know, like, yeah, I live in, you know, around the Charlotte area, and the mm-hmm people that know me in real life know where I live. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, not that I feel like I'm that important, but I just don't feel like random Joe over there needs to know where to find me if I don't, yeah, want to be found. And absolutely, like, posting my girl, like, yeah, I'll post my girl. You know I'm dating her. I at her, you know, retweet her and shit. Do I feel like I have to once a month, you know, once a week or whatever, like I have to make a scheduled post to remind the world that we're dating? No, I don't. Because who? Everyone that needs to know. Yeah, everyone that needs to know, everyone that cares, you know, they know I'm dating her and nothing's changed unless you hear me say otherwise. Mm-hmm. On Snapchat, you know, that's where I keep all, I mean, no one really uses Snapchat anymore, and that's kind of how I like it. It's just the people that I actually know in real life. That's the one where I kind of get, like, a little more personal, like me going around town doing shit, or when I am with my girl, like, on a date or some shit, I might post some date pictures or, you know, we're out doing shit. But, like, larger platforms, like Twitter, Instagram, shit like that, like, I'm kind of good on the oversharing aspect, unless it's, like, jokes and shit, like I'll joke about whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you an example of something that actually happened to me, and I'm curious how you would move forward with this. So actually, it was one of the women I was talking about earlier. So before I started dating this woman, we were friends and shit. This is the one who's a virgin, right? Damn, people who know me, they gonna know who I'm talking about. Like, or if you know her, you gonna know what I'm talking about. But it's cool. It's whatever. I'm not saying anything crazy. So this woman, before I dated her, I don't know if I asked her or if she brought it up. But basically, to make a long story short, which she had told me about our last relationship, and essentially, dude never posted anything. Or I don't remember how long they were together. I'm going to guess it was at least a decent amount of time. It wasn't like a couple months, right? And he never would post a picture of her. And I guess she had told me, like, some little incidents where, like, women would, like, come up to him and she'd be with him. And, like, they were kind of disrespectful and just was trying to kind of get at him or whatever the case may be, right? Now,
yeah,
what I found out later about the woman, maybe that what didn't happen the way she said it, but that's how she told me, right? So, basically, what I took from her telling me all this and us talking, and she said some more stuff, was she would like, she's not telling me I have to, but she would like basically an acknowledgement through social media. As, you know, not telling me how often or anything like that, but she would like an acknowledgement just to put herself at ease. And I was like, you know what? Because I went through a time where I didn't post any of the people that I dealt with. Because basically, anytime I would post a woman with me, people just immediately thought I was smashing them or in a relationship. And it wasn't always the case. So I just stopped posting anyone. But I was like, cool. I have no problem with that because I understand that. And I can understand how that could make you feel insecure. I think it would make me feel insecure after a while. I don't really care about that shit, right? But after a while, you'd be like, well, damn. Like, it'd be like, to me, it's no different than if I had pictures of us throughout my house, right? We've been together for a year or whatever. And I had pictures of us throughout my house. And I go over to your house and you would not know I existed. Yeah. Now, obviously, I'm not doing that so that you could do that. But it does. It would feel weird, I think, after a while. What would you do in that situation? Have you ever been in that kind of situation or known of that kind of situation?
So, yes, that's kind of the situation that I'm talking about. I'm not going to say presently, but kind of presently. So, like, my girl likes to post pictures. She's Instagram, all that shit. We go out, we take pictures and shit. I'll be like, I don't really like these pictures. I don't like myself in pictures. Like I said, I don't really like being in front of a camera. I feel awkward taking pictures and shit like that. So I don't take a lot of pictures of myself. And when I do, I might post one picture of myself every 4 or 5 months, right? If you see my Instagram, I have this small stretch where I took pictures at, you know, events and shit. And I might post like 4 pictures of my Instagram. Those are the only ones that's on there in like the 5 years that I've, you know, been on Instagram. Other sports shit and shit like that. Like, I don't do pictures. Yeah. So for me, I don't do that. She likes to do it. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, well, you know, you can post these of us. And I was like, well, I don't really like these pictures. So why am I going to post them? You posted them. Do we follow the same people? They saw it on yours. Why they got to see it on my stuff like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I do get that.
But I get
for one, stop posting bad pictures, by the way. Don't do that. As a photographer, it bothers me. And when you post multiple pictures on Instagram, hold on, let me get this shit off. I'm going to let you get back to it. Hold that thought.
Nah, you got it.
When you post multiple pictures on Instagram, go to another app and stretch them bitches out because the second or third picture is going to be fucked up, right? And when you post the first picture, expand it. My girl even does it and it bothers me, especially if I took a great picture. Expand that motherfucker. If you go post a picture on Instagram right now, you know what I mean. Expand it. Hit that little thing in the corner to expand it so you see the whole picture. Sorry, man. I had to get that off.
Nope, you were good because, like I said, like it's just the thing. Like she has her wants, and I understand where she wants that to happen. And it's like it's what I'm comfortable with doing or not doing because I don't like doing things. Well, I just don't like doing things just because I'm told to do them. If I didn't do it, you know, out of my own will, and it's like, well, it doesn't mean anything. So that's my thing. So, but that to me, not doing it, like I said, I don't give a fuck about it. So it's not like it means anything about me and her if I didn't post anything. But I don't know. Then there was a whole thing about posting on the like a actual Instagram post versus on the story, and I was like, yo, people still saw. Like, I'm like 200 something people. I'm followed by like 230 people or some shit like that. I'm like 199 people saw it. It's basically everybody but like the bot pages. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone saw it. It's not like not it's, yeah. Like, well, you're talking about like someone hiding somebody.
Yeah,
I understand that because that's why I say like, look, I'm cool with what I'm cool with because I mean like I'm not hiding you obviously because you're known. And I post the good pictures of you. And that's the other thing. When I take pictures, just pictures of her. It's not with me in it. It's like be at dinner or whatever, you know, a picture from the table and shit like that. But it's just like, I'm trying to find a good way to word it.
You know why I bring all this up? Is because something small like this, I see it turn into a big thing. Not with me, but with other people. It's like a thing. It's just like the whole like, oh, you liked X amount of IG models thing. Like, I've never had that happen in real life to me. Like, I've never had anyone pull up. That's I've never looked at anyone likes. I've never, because who gives a fuck what they are liking?
You're also over 30. I've never, I'm being serious. I've never experienced that with anyone over the age of 19. I haven't had that conversation since my, like, first 2 years of college.
Yeah.
About the who you like and shit like that, because no one gives a fuck out. That's teenage shit.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like you said about the people you pick too. It's to me, it's no different than like the whole where you got these bitch ass dudes who complain about women who want guys who have money, right? Or who have some shit going on. There's levels to that conversation, but there's a particular guy who's bitching about that, and it's like, It's like, dog, I don't attract women who are after me for my money. So what is it about you where you attract all these so-called gold diggers or people who lead with, are you going to give me a bag or are you going to give me this or that? You should probably research or not research. You should self-assess. What is it about you and your approach? Because I've heard women, multiple women tell me how dudes here will come up to you, don't know you, just start pulling out money. Yeah, girl, you know I got money. And I'm like, for real? Like, I know there's clowns out there like that, right? But I'm like, word? Like, not even on some, I'm going to spit some game or like, yo, my name is Ann. I just seen you, blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the third. You know, girl, I could take care of you and shit. Nah, it's just straight up like on some prostitute shit. And if it's, to me, it's like, if you got respect for yourself, first of all, you got your own shit, for one. And secondly, you're not carrying yourself as a prostitute. You feel me? So you should be offended by that shit. But if you keep attracting those type of dudes, you got to think about, you know what I'm saying, what you're putting out there. And as a dude, if you're tracking the type of women who got their hand out, you got to think about, am I the dude that's dressing like I want attention from those type of women? Or, you know, maybe it's a lot of jewelry or whatever the case. Listen, nigga, I'll be putting together like $50 outfits, dog. So I'm not attracting the woman who's looking for a Birkin bag. You feel me?
Look, I will say those women can spot like a motherfucker. They can spot a lame nigga who came up. They can spot a lame nigga who came up on Washington. Money.
Oh, shit.
My bad. Chill on my boy. No, that's... I mean, but for real, though, they can spot a lame nigga. He ain't never had nothing before, so what he gonna do when he get money? He gonna get the trick in a little bit. They can spot that from a mile away. They can, like... And I don't know how, because I can't. I mean, not that I'd be looking for niggas. Like, I feel like, oh, man, like, niggas would be cool. They got money, but... Would I be seeing half the niggas that be going out sad the way they do? No. I'm like, damn, why? I'd be, like, astounded. I'm like, you didn't know better than that? And apparently the answer is no. So, but I mean, like, yeah, some dudes, you know, they didn't have it before and they got the glow up monetarily. And so when you didn't have it before the money, you're not going to really have it after money. So
yeah,
what are you going to throw at them? The money?
Yeah.
And I think, man, that's what...
Dude, we could talk about this for an hour, like just these things. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and we're going to get to the Gatling round tailored specifically for Marcus. So we'll be right back this brief break. Football or basketball?
Football.
HBCU or PWI?
Like me personally?
Yeah, like today.
Or in general. In general, I just feel like the school's best for you is what you need to go to. I went to a PWI because they gave me the most money. And I was going to meet black people wherever I went anyways. I was going to hang with black people. So the world's full. I grew up, you know, in a town that's roughly the same demographics as when I went to Clemson. Like, it's about 85% white. So it's nothing. It wasn't like no culture shock to me. So I don't care either way.
Yeah.
But I definitely, if I had the opportunity, would have liked to have gone to HBCU if it worked out in that favor.
That's one thing I wish I had done as well. What's your favorite anime?
I don't know.
Give me one of them. Just one of them.
One Piece, probably. I'm watching that. My favorite one, I just got to talk. My favorite one that I finished in its entirety, probably, Bungo Stray Dogs.
Okay, that or Boondocks?
Boondocks. I need that relatability. And Aaron Magruder is damn near a prophet. I'm kind of scared.
All right.
So, shout out.
Watching a game at home or at the bar?
At home. I make better drinks.
That ass or them titties?
Oh, you know me, man. I need the titties, man.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Them heavy things, man. Come on now.
Tickle bitties. All right. Death Valley or Cameron Indoor? Have you been in Death Valley when you was there?
I've been in both.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Been in both.
You know, Cameron Indoor is on my bucket list.
Cameron Indoor is different. It's hot as fuck. It is hot as all fuck in there. Yeah, definitely Cameron Indoor.
Okay. Kobe 8 or 24?
24.
Bagger online or in person?
It's a different kind of swag to bag in person, but online is kind of fire too, just because, you know, she's seeing a lot more shots online, and you get chose out of them niggas. I mean, that takes some kind of shit too. My shit started from online. My girl don't even live, you know what I'm saying? She'll be Texas, but that shit was online. So
y'all gonna have to tune in to the episode with my girl that we should be recording soon to find out how that happened. All I'll say is our first day was abnormal in a good way. Very abnormal. Shout out to Miss I'll Jump a Fence for you. You'll get it when we record ours. a text or a FaceTime?
Text. I don't like being on camera.
For sure. Chicago or Brooklyn drill?
Chicago. I don't like that Brooklyn shit. It's very hairy. I know all music sounds the same when you don't listen to a lot of it, but that Brooklyn shit, first of all, it sounds like UK shit. It doesn't even sound like Brooklyn shit. So, whatever.
There's a difference? I'm honestly asking because I didn't know there was really a difference. I thought basically Brooklyn took whatever the London shit was and
it was one way or the other. Either UK took the Brooklyn shit or Brooklyn took the UK shit.
I think, don't quote me, but I think Brooklyn did because I just remember Pop Smoke hearing stuff about him, and basically he was like, yo, he was taking he was taking drill joints off of YouTube, and then he finally, the dude that reached out who he was taking stuff from was like, yo, blah, 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 and then they start, he flew him out or whatever the case, and they start working.
Yeah. In Chicago for sure.
In these streets or at the crib?
At the crib.
All right, it's the last one. DaBaby or J. Cole?
Cole World, man.
For sure. That's the Gatlin
round. Can't be co-signing DaBaby right now.
Bust some shots. It's the Gatlin round. All right. Gonna put that in post too. All right. We got a few somewhat serious topics, but you know, we're gonna do how we do it. All right. So Texas just recently had an abortion law passed through the Supreme Court in a very unique way. And I was listening to The Daily. It's a New York Daily podcast that comes out every morning. And that's where I kind of learned about it. They break stuff down. So I definitely take this over watching the news because they have people come on and, you know, have someone asking these, you know, questions you want to know, follow-up questions, you know what I mean? So basically what I took from this Texas abortion law was they did it differently. So how they explained it is a lot of these laws get passed in these bum-ass states. And then the federal courts usually shoot that shit right back down and it never actually gets enforced. And normally what happens is in these cases, it's enforced by the governor and I guess people who can enforce it, right? I'm not no political expert. I know what I know, but people enforce that. So you usually would be able to sue the governor and probably parts of the government or whatever for laws that you feel like are violating your constitutional rights, right? What Texas did, right? It's very fucking slick, whoever wrote this shit. They made it so when this law passed, it wasn't that the government would enforce it necessarily. It was that other citizens, if they found out that you got an abortion, other citizens would have the incentive of $10,000 that if, let's say, Marcus went and took a girl to get an abortion, if I was a citizen in Texas, I could rat him out, sue him, and if I won, I would get $10,000, I guess on top of whatever else I might win in there. I don't know, but I would get $10,000. I'm not really sure who I'm getting that $10,000 from. Maybe I have to go back and listen to that or ask some more questions, read some more on it. But you're supposed to get $10,000. And that means I could sue the Uber driver that took y'all. I could sue the clinic. I could sue the medical person who worked on the woman. It's a bunch of different people I could sue. And then you could get sued. Like, I could sue Marcus, and then I can get my girl to sue Marcus, and the Uber driver too, and then she can get her own girl to sue Marcus, and so on and so forth. And that's how they're getting around that in the Supreme Court. You should listen to that episode to get a more in-depth breakdown of that. But did you listen to that or read about it?
I read about it, and you're basically right. It's like a modern-day witch hunt, basically.
Yeah. So what was your thoughts on that? Because that shit is wild. And we're going to talk about just choice and people's bodies and stuff. And we're probably going to end up bringing up the vaccine. But, you know, the abortion, just the talk on abortion has always been my body, my choice from liberal women. But I guess conservative women think that men should be able to tell them about, you know, what they should do with their body. Oh, yeah, my bad. I forgot a big part of that. Is they didn't actually ban abortions altogether. They banned any abortions after 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Which basically is when women normally find out that they're pregnant. So basically they have banned abortion, essentially.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts, man? I'm a mute and listen.
Well, where to start? First of all, the my body, my choice thing is 100% valid. I have always stood like in line with that. You don't know why? Because I'm not a woman. I don't carry no child. So I will never have to go through that. And the complications and the bodily changes, the hormonal changes, all the stuff that goes along with physically carrying a child, you know, to term, and the dangers that come with that. So because I will never have to do that, I can only stand in line with the people that do. Aside from that, there are people who believe, you know, religiously. It all comes back to religious beliefs, which is crazy to me because separation of church and state is supposed to be like one of the, you know, main statutes of our government. But everything comes down to someone's religious beliefs one way or the other, it seems like. That's crazy to me. Yeah, the whole witch hunt thing, basically encouraging mass snitching to out people that it's not even if you got an abortion, it's if you attempted to. Like, from what I understand, so much is searching, you know what I'm saying? Like internet searching. If you were like on a public library and someone saw you searching on a computer for abortion, like, hey, look, this person was looking for abortion locations, they were thinking about it, that's viable, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, yeah, shit like that. Like, it's not even like, oh, we found out they did it. It was like, no, they're attempting to do it in their past 6 weeks or whatever. Like you said, 6 weeks is a point where some people have not found out yet, you know, like when things happened. And on my end, she didn't find out until she was 8 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So that would have been some shit where, like, there wouldn't even have been a choice on her part. My older sister, when she got pregnant, she didn't find out until she was 7-8 weeks. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where, yeah, it effectively bans it. Some people believe that, you know, it's not, as far as my body, my choice thing, from what I understand from my reading, from what I understand is that it's the baby's life is its own to govern. You can't govern someone else's life. Like the way that the only way that I actually saw this put, like, kind of not in a, if I would say like devil's advocate way, but like not in a totally like Bible thumping asshole way, was it's like, just because you are that, in this perspective, if you're that baby's landlord, you know, you can't kill them just because they live in your house. You know, your body's your temple or whatever, but they live there. They're their own life living there, is what they're saying, right? So there's like, it's not your job to kill them or tell them, you know, their life is not valuable. That's, from what I understand, that's probably the most sensible way that that point's been put. And I say Bible thumping, and that's like me coming from someone that does believe in the Bible. Mostly. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's like a way that it's just being brought up to where it's all agenda and no one actually has a real reason to go for it. I mean, you can say you care about the children, but no, they don't care about the children. Like, education funding says otherwise. CPS cases say otherwise. like, there's so many things that we're not doing for current living children or to improve the conditions of parents with multiple children on their own. You don't actually care about the children. You care about whatever narrative that you're getting paid to push. And that's my issue with that, you know, passing the way that it did and incentivizing the citizens to get behind that for cash reward that they may or may not even get. Because, I mean, like you said, it has to go to a trial for a lawsuit. So you're not even guaranteed to do it. You're snitching on hope. I don't like that. You're snitching on hope. You're not even like guaranteed. It's supposed to be a deterrent, though. So that's the real thing. It's supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah, and that pod, I don't like, actually said that so far it's been working as far as a deterrent, because motherfuckers don't want to get sued and shit. But eventually there probably will be someone who goes and takes it to court, because they, in that pod, they definitely set an angle to where it might get brought back up and get taken to court in a different way. So we're definitely
going to stay tuned. Constitutionally, and it's definitely going to come up when there's going to be an unsafe, illegal abortion performed. It's going to happen, because if I remember correctly, they say there's no exceptions for rape, incest, anything of that, like with that abortion thing. There's no exceptions. It's 6 weeks flat across the board. There's going to be some case where someone's going to get caught up in some situation. They're going to get an unsafe abortion. The mother, unfortunately, this is the way I feel is going to happen. The mother and or the baby are going to be harmed, and they're going to end up taking it to court, and they're going to end up challenging it, and that's going to end up what eventually gets it reversed. But I just don't like it. That's going to come to the point where someone's going to get harmed doing it, and it's going to cost a shit ton of money for everybody involved. So there's no incentive. To me, there's no incentive for the state to wait this out. There's no incentive for the lawmakers to try to keep pushing this the way that it is. Like, I mean, it feels like a win for conservatism in this godless land that we live in, right? But it just doesn't, I just don't see how that affects you. Like, that Miss Jones across the street over there, she got an abortion. The hell that got to do with my house in here? Not a damn thing. Other than me being nosy over there and knowing that she had one, if anything, that helps you, right? That's one less child that, if they want to complain about people being on the system, this and the third, your taxpayer dollars, you know, that's one less person eating your taxpayer dollars for shit like that. If that's the life that they're, you know, intended to live, if they were born, you know, it just doesn't make sense. That's what I don't like. I can normally get with shit, even if it's not popular, if there's something that makes sense behind it, I can at least understand it. But I don't understand it because it doesn't make sense. It's just propaganda pushing. And people are, like I said, I believe 90% of people are actually, like, stupid. I didn't say stupid earlier, but I'll say it now. I think 90% of people are stupid, you know? Yeah. They got people in Oklahoma. I know we're not talking about the vaccine. You got people in Oklahoma following up Joe Rogan and taking horse dewormer for COVID treatment. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember the names of what it what it's called, but it's something that comes in a human form, but they took the horse version of it because that's what the brand name is. And they're fucking filling up this hospital. I think it was, they said it was in Norman, Oklahoma, to take gunshot victims. They're waiting like 4 or 5 hours to get a room because of these niggas. Like, so when I say I think 90% of people are stupid, I think 90% of people in some way, shape, or form are following up some stupid shit like that. Might not be exactly that, but they're following up some other stupid shit. Yeah. Because they're unaware. They're just unaware.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm unaware. I'm not saying I am aware. I don't think I'm necessarily up to 10%, but I'm aware that that 90% exists. I think a lot of people are not aware that they are in that 90%.
Yeah.
Oh. I might be in the 10%. Maybe that makes me part of the 10%. I don't know. But
yeah. I definitely am with, like, women. It's their choice. I don't know how it feels to have another human, like, developing inside me. I never will be able to completely understand how that feels. And especially, I think it's somewhat evil to not, at a minimum, have, like, rape and incest in there. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just a decent, even, like, if you just cold hard don't believe in that, fine. Because there's debates between, like, scientists and people like that on if his, you know, baby's alive at this point and all this other stuff. So, I'm pro-choice and not telling women what to do with their body. And because I don't feel like I have a definitive answer on is a baby alive or is it really a baby at this time and all that, I don't know. Like, I've heard, like, arguments years ago, I don't know, you know what I mean? And so, you know, for all the reasons Marcus stated, you know, whether it be you can't take care of this baby, obviously you don't want this baby, whatever, there's too many kids already out here, you know, with parents that don't want them or that can't take care of them, so why make more and have more problems and issues? Now, if you don't believe in abortion, I guess you have, like, your reasons or whatever. But to me, I'm for women having that choice. And that don't mean that I even think, like, oh, you should go out and have 10 abortions, you know, and just be reckless. You know, I just think certain situations come up. And sometimes the best idea to handle that situation is to, you know, do what you got to do. But yeah, this is wild. And I think Marcus pretty much hit everything that I probably would say. But yeah, I just think women should have their choice. I definitely don't think it should be a bunch of old ass men coming up with mandates for women and shit like that. I always call it just women issues, whether it's like birth control and things like that. I don't know enough. I can only listen to women, take what women say and compile it and be like, this is what I think, but I'm not a woman. So this is just what I think from talking to women and stuff like that. So it's, the motherfucker wrote the law, very slick. Salute to that, but other than that, it's trash and y'all snitching out here. It's crazy. But crazy. We will put a pin in that topic. We're going to get to the last topic. So I was hitting up the group chat while I was watching it. So I didn't take notes or anything like that, so I'm going off the top of what I remember. We watched the Turning Point 9/11 and War on Terror documentaries on Netflix, if y'all want to check that out. I will say that just my first, like, after I watched this and I was talking about it with a coworker, I was just like, if you take this documentary, probably Crack in the 13th, and they're all on Netflix. If you watch those three documentaries and you're, and you have an objective, if you go in there without like some narrative of what America is and you just go into it to receive their information and process it, I don't see how you cannot say that America is full of shit, is an evil, has an evil, I don't know, like, they're evil. Let me just say, we evil, and it's heavy on propaganda. Now, I wasn't naive about any of this stuff, but it just kind of puts it right in front of you when you watch this documentary and some of the other ones I named. And so, I mean, this thing, if you haven't seen it, you should stop it right now or fast forward through this part. But I mean, it's historical shit or whatever, so we're not like giving away anything really. But to start, I didn't know. I was very ignorant. I used to be in the Army. I've been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. And I went and signed up, not because of 9/11, but because it was the best option for me at the time. At least that's what I thought. And I didn't know shit about this war. Like, at least what you should know is, like, who we're at war with, why it started, the origins, and so on and so forth. I just joined the Army. I knew we were at war, and it's possible I'd get sent there. You know, I didn't know there was really much of a difference. And I know that may sound crazy, but I guarantee you, if people were honest, a lot of people were like that. And a lot of citizens who never joined the military were probably like that as well. This taught me the difference between Al-Qaeda and Taliban, which I just put kind of one in the same. Even when I was over there, your enemy's an enemy type shit. It don't really fucking matter. And maybe it don't to fight the war, but to have understanding of what you're supposedly fighting for and about. So, what jumped out at you in this? What were some of the things you learned that maybe you didn't know? And how old were you when 9/11 happened? Were you like 5 or something like that? And I'm not trying to be funny, but I was thinking about this.
No, I was legitimately 5.
Yeah? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, I will say before I get into that, I remember I was in high school, Mount Zion High School, Jonesboro, Georgia. I was in fucking English class when that shit happened. Kind of while it was happening, going to, I think, algebra like 2 class or some shit like that. Sophomore in high school. And I just remember, it's like Metro Atlanta area. People being like, man, they might hit Atlanta next. But really, we was just more so thinking about how we can get out of school. Honestly. Because it's New York. Well, we had a lot of people from New York and Atlanta. It's like, it was almost like independent of us, kind of. You know what I mean? That day, you know, we're kids and shit like that. But what do you remember as a young person, or like when you first were kind of aware of it? And then what were some things that jumped out at you about this documentary?
So I remember the day. I actually remember the day. Even though I was, you know, preschool. No, I was 4. I wasn't 5 yet. I turned 5 later. I was 4. I was in preschool. And just remember, you know, regular morning, you know, was supposed to be watching like Barney or some shit, you know, Sesame Street. And then I think it was Sesame Street that came on the local channel and it cut to the news, right? And it's like, oh, there's a plane that hit, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because, you know, at first they're reporting that it was an accidental plane crash. They didn't think it was an attack till the second one hit. The second one hit and we saw that shit. And my fucking teacher started crying. And I'm like, yo, like, because I didn't even realize it was real. I thought it was like a movie or some shit like that. Because I'm like, yo, this is crazy. But
yeah,
that shit hit, you know, then our parents came and picked us up. And then, you know, because people were saying the same shit. They're like, oh, we're in Charlotte. Charlotte's the second biggest financial district behind New York. They might hit us now. I mean, nobody think about no fucking Charlotte.
Nigga, please. But there's a whole lot of targets before Charlotte.
For real. No, but jokes aside, like, I'm not joking about it. You know what I'm saying? But beside that shit, I'm like, we're getting it. But people were coming out here and, you know, they were crying and shit. I saw other people's parents get there before mine and they were, you know, crying and shit when they're picking up their kids, people coming in. And I was like, yo, like, I knew like something had happened, like, and it was important because, like, I'm actually kind of surprised that I actually remember like that many details from that day. And that's just kind of how traumatic it was. And my parents explained it to me. My mom did. She picked me up and she was just like, yeah, like, this happened. I don't know why it happened. She's like, they're going on a whole, they're hateful people, you know, that do things and not everything has a reason. But I had an aunt and uncle that lived in New York and owned a restaurant. Oh, they still live up there, actually. But they were like, oh, we're going to call them. We haven't heard from them because apparently their restaurant that they owned was so many blocks from the World Trade Center. So we just wanted to check in on them. They were okay. You know, nothing happened with them or whatever. But I remember, like, most of that pretty vividly. And from this documentary, you know, it's kind of – so it's always been a subject – I'm a history nerd. And one of my – I like learning about recent history that I've experienced because it's the disconnect of reading what actually happened versus what's presented.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about propaganda, right? So yeah. That shit happened, and, you know, our first thing was finding out who did it. You know, people were coming out trying to take credit for it, and then, you know, we eventually narrowed it down to Al-Qaeda, right? Al-Qaeda is a terrorist group. Terrorist group with Saddam Hussein. Not Saddam Hussein, with what's the other dude?
Bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, correct. Because that's going to lead me to the other point. So we already had beef with Saddam Hussein, right? In the 90s. The whole shit with the Gulf War, this, that, and the third. Tried to cross over into Qatar for oil. We ended up coming and helping them kick him back out, right? But not before he fucked up all that shit on the way out, right? So it was still a loss, technically. Yeah. But so we already had beef with him for that. And so then we hear about the weapons of mass destruction thing or whatever that existed. Nah, that was a whole get back.
Yeah.
My opinion. I'm getting into opinion now. So
yeah, because that was George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
During that time in the Gulf War. And now Junior's in office and shit.
Junior's right? In office. He had to go get it for, you know, he had to say, I'm going to do it on set, man. I'm going to do it on set.
on the Bush set. Texas, baby. Yeah, ranch style.
What's crazy is, you know, going back further before that, these people in Al-Qaeda, which is out of Afghanistan, operating in, they're out of Saudi Arabia because bin Laden was, you know, Saudi, and operating in Afghanistan. And eventually he was being housed in Pakistan, as we all know from the whole thing. And that's why I was like, well, what part of that led to us invading the fuck out of Iraq?
Yeah, which I did. And I feel dumb. Promise you, I feel dumb. I didn't know he was Saudi. Didn't know it until then. Hadn't cared. Hadn't ever even looked at anything now, like, honestly, since then.
That's what I'm saying. We're in Iraq for what? A get back? Take oil? Whatever you may call it. Now, the whole conspiracies of the government did it. They orchestrated this so that we could get back. I would say it's a little far-fetched. But we've seen, like, in Vietnam, like, Gulf of Tonkin and shit like that. You know, they're like, man, they called in a fake attack so that we can invade Vietnam, allegedly. The USS wow. Maine and the Spanish-American War. And they were like, it was a boiler room accident that blew up that ship, but they just said that the Spanish did in Cuba, and that's when we invaded them. The allegedly.
I'm learning shit. Right? I'm learning shit right now.
I'm just saying, just allegedly. Shit. Like, yeah. That shit blew up. So that was like, what, 1914 or some shit during imperialism. Or maybe before that, actually. I might get the dates wrong. Don't quote me. I'm not looking at shit. I'm going off straight memory. But I just remember the USS Maine, you know, was supposed to be down in Cuba, and that's when the Spanish had owned it, and we had, it blew up, and they were like, oh, they got attacked. Spanish. We need to go down there and fuck them up for that. Everyone, yeah! So we can do that, right? But then, then it comes back, you know, it's like, well, actually, you know, from the you know, reports of what actually happened. It was like, it might have just been a boiler room accident, you know, that fucked up the ship. And we went and got Cuba off of that, right? And then Cuba got their independence, you know, later down the line and all kinds of shit, right? So it's just shit like that. Like I said, like the conspiracy, I see why it's there. Do I actually believe it? I have to see it to believe it. I'm not going to just jump off and say I believe it, but I don't put it past them, I would say. But
what's the
3,000 people, 3,000 American people dying is different from calling it a fake attack. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I find that hard to believe. And it's just the fact that in the 70s, we went and supplied them, you know, Afghanistan with a lot of this shit so that they could fight the Soviets. Because we're like, oh, we need to get them armed so that they can fight that Soviet invasion, which they did. The Soviets couldn't handle that terrain. And then we found out for the last 20 years, neither could we.
facts.
Being honest. But
yo, that's that ain't.
The U.S. does not, they do not publicize their L's. They will not tell you that they took the L. Not
we lost Vietnam. We definitely didn't win this war.
We lost this war.
Well, we lost this war. Actually, it's not even a definitely didn't win. We lost it because if we did all that shit for 20 years and they took it back in a week, you lost the war. We lost the fucking... Fam, we lose a lot of fucking wars to be the big bad motherfucker. We lose a lot of fucking wars to be big bad USA, right? We lose a lot of fucking wars.
Well, I won't say we lose a lot. Well, we don't lose a lot, in my opinion.
We lose, you know what? We lose, like you said, more than we're willing to admit. For sure.
I mean, and that's the aura that's built in, you know, nationalism. And I had good teachers in high school, right? Mm-hmm. I had good teachers in college, professors in college. Teachers that were willing to tell us beyond, you know, because especially in college, professors that have done research, work in research, they will tell us beyond what is in textbooks and stuff, right? They'll be like, well, no, you actually do the research beyond this point here. You'll see, yes, it says this, but and then expand and be like, but this is what actually happened and what it actually means. Yeah. Not everyone gets that benefit. Like, I went to school in a privileged school district with good teachers that would do that. So me and other people like that have that privilege could understand that some people, you know, don't. So they're just ignorant to the fact of, well, you know, we live in America. America's this, that, and the third. We're a 2-time world champs. 2-time World War champs. Some shit people be saying, right? Like, no, it's not that cut and dry. Like, we're not out here just going to war and winning and saving the world and being the good guys. Like, no, there is a lot more shit going on. Every war that we are in is to gain. We are gaining land. We are gaining money. We are gaining resources. Or we are eliminating a threat. Eliminating a threat, not just a threat to us and our freedoms, eliminating a threat to do one of the other three.
We're going to clip that for sure. What was definitely eye-opening to me was just I got the origin story of how any of this shit happened. Like, why do they hate us? Which is, it's the normal reason, but it's just explained to you. Like, the Russians went over there. They tried to occupy that shit. We went in, put our cape on. It helped. But then these motherfuckers realized, oh, y'all just as bad as them. You know what I'm saying? It's like the dude, right? So it's like if you watch any prison movie or whatever or know anything about prison culture, you'll be like, okay, you get in, right? I get in there, right? And dude try to punk me. Marcus helped me out, right? Right? He helped me out, get the dude off of me. But then he like, all right, bitch, that'll be like 5 cartons of cigarettes. I mean, that's basically, I know it's simplified or whatever, but that's basically what we did. It was like, we're going to hang out here. And then we're going to push. I think that's what people need to understand, right? We need to put our ego aside with that whole, with the propaganda of America's this, America's that. This is how we do things in the Western world. And stop trying to put that shit on them and other countries. Because they've been living like that for centuries. Like, that's, a lot of it is tied in religion and shit like that. So imagine, yeah, like, just
supporting Israel also, like, not to cut him, I was saying us supporting Israel is really big as far as, like, religion-wise and all that is going on. You can keep going, though.
Nah, because it's like, imagine, like, if you take a 50-year-old guy, right, black, white, whatever, and then you try to change, okay, 50-year-old guy who thinks being gay is nasty or wrong, who thinks women should be just feminine and and stay at home and make babies and clean the house, right? Think about a guy like that. And then trying to make him think like an average person in 2021, a more progressive person, is pretty much damn near impossible to do. So imagine trying to get a whole region to switch how they think and how they act. On top of that, throw in religion, because you know a religious motherfucker, whether they're black, white, middle from the Middle East, if they believe in that religion, it's pretty much, it's damn near almost no way, unless something significant happens, to get them to start thinking differently. So to think, to have the arrogance to think that we're going to go somewhere and make people forget about what they've been worshiping for centuries, generations, decades, whatever you want to say, and to be like, oh, nah, you're going to think like us now, and you're going to act like us now, even though we probably, like, sent a drone that, like, killed everyone at your cousin's wedding. Right? But we think that you're actually going to conform to us. Right? Now, Americans need to think of it like, if you went outside right now, wherever you're at, when you're listening to this or watching this, and you just saw Afghani fucking tanks rolling down, and they was like, yo, we're here to help y'all. These cops are killing y'all. We're here to help y'all. But, you know, your women got to stay inside. They need to be covered up, blah, blah, once we finish helping y'all and shit. Right?
Yep.
You'd be like, man, fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of my country. I'll deal with the whatever shit I got to deal with on my own. And then on top of that, they bombed your cousin's wedding because they thought maybe a bad cop was in there or something. I'm just giving an example, a hypothetical, but something like that. You'd be like, fuck out of here. Suck my dick. And so I feel like this just kind of brings to the forefront of, you can understand why. I want to be very clear. I'm not condoning terrorists at all, because I don't want anyone to take this as that. What I'm saying is I can understand why someone would hate our country. In countries just like it. So it's not just independent of the United States, but all these powers or whatever that, you know, got all this economy compared to like those type of places, and they got all the resources and whatever, and they go and steal other people's resources and shit. They already got plenty, but they want to go steal yours. You know what I'm saying? So look, I get it.
It comes down to the same thing that I'll say about people on the internet. On the internet. Damn, hold up, my bad. That's my computer. On the internet, we got so many people, social media, that are comfortable saying, doing whatever. Why? Because distance. We can say things from behind this screen right here. And I don't feel like I'm going to get touched by you. No offense. Mm-hmm. You don't know where I live. You're random whoever, right? You ain't going to find me. I say what the fuck I want and be cool with it. America's kind of got that same shit. They go out, they flex, go in another country. You know, boom, boom, boom. We fuck some shit up. How you going to get back at us? Or you going to try to bomb us, you know, on a nuke? Oh, we'll shoot that shit out the sky. We'll see that shit coming for 16 hours before it gets
this
here.
This is a great point you made in the group chat.
Y'all can't touch us. We got the two biggest bodies of water, so, like, keeping y'all from any confrontation. Like, the closest we've gotten to being attacked was 9/11. And they infiltrated the country first because we were fucking lazy about, you know, our homeland security laws as far as traveling shit, because we did not think we could be fucking touched, because it never happened before. The closest we got was fucking Pearl Harbor. And I'm not saying that Hawaii and Pearl Harbor doesn't matter, but to the mainland America, that's like, damn, that's Hawaii. That's fucking someplace I'll never go to, and it's fucking 3,000 miles away. Like, but mainland America getting attacked like that, like, yo, that opened some eyes. I was like, oh shit. Like, not saying that, like, I'm not condoning none of that shit, because, like, at the end of the day, I don't think we're that bad to where, like, regular citizens got to die. Damn, is that shit coming through?
I was trying to let you finish your point before I stopped you. I was about to say, you're getting choppy, and then that thing, it keeps going off. It's like, as soon as that noise was going off.
I don't know why I was doing that, but my bad, bro.
It's all good.
Can that be, like, cut up?
I'm gonna just leave that in there.
It's just like at the end of the day, we think. Okay. At the end of the day, like niggas act like they can't be touched. We saw that we can't be touched. Mm-hmm. A lot of shit's changed since then. You've seen like shit's a lot more locked down, almost to the extreme side. You know, the whole xenophobia type mm-hmm. shit, which I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but it's like there's a happy middle in between. You can't be so, you know, provocative, you know, across the world, you know, out there, you know, putting your dick on the table in every country. Ha ha ha. We fucking run the world and think like no one's going to touch you. That's kind of what we did for a good 40 years, mm-hmm. right? Once we beat the, you know, Soviets and that shit, it was like, oh, we fucking won. Who's going to fuck with us? Oh shit, someone fucked with us. And so now we got to, we're on that other side where we're like, nah, we got to fucking eliminate anybody that can fuck with us. And that's kind of been the mentality, even with the nice faces like Obama. Like, Obama was a nice face doing it, right? Trump wasn't a nice face. But
Obama, I think he was drone king. And I have conflicting feelings about drones. I'd be asking random-ass people.
What he put it as. No, he touted it as him saving American lives. He wasn't even in the closet about it. He wasn't even in the closet about it. He was out there, and he was like, look at how many American lives we're saving. Yeah. We're not putting our men, because he pulled people out, and they were bringing people home, and that was a big banner. Obama's pulling so many troops out, but no, he's pulling out physical troops, sending in drone strikes instead, and talking about we're saving American lives, which is true. You are saving American lives. And it comes to at some point, I told you on this on the last sports pod, Keyshawn, like, bro, you can't save everybody. And at the end of the day, it is war. Shit's going to happen. I would rather you worry about me first than them later in that specific instance. So do I think he's wrong? The whole concept's wrong, but in the scope of being wrong, I think he was less wrong.
But when you do stuff like that, you're creating. I'm just add to it because I know Marcus understands, but you're creating your next enemy. You know, being and in there, do you remember the part where it was talking about that unit? So it was that Marine. And man, that dude kept crying and it was hitting me. Like, not because he was crying, but I can relate. Not to necessarily that situation. So my first deployment is 06 to 07 in Iraq. I didn't get to Afghanistan until May of 2008. And I went there three times to the same place. I mean, literally, I had the same room two out of the three times I was there. The first time I was there, my supervisor, when I was walking with him in Bagram, one of the Hajis, as we call them, is, you know, a civilian Afghani who works on the poles, maybe cleaning your laundry or whatever. Was like, hey, Jeff. Hey, how's the wife? I was like, what the fuck? Y'all motherfuckers are here too much. If he knows your name and remembers you, dog. But y'all are there too much. Like, for real, we was on rotation. So I knew motherfuckers had 6-7 deployments. You know what I'm saying? Like, by the time I started getting into my second, third deployment, you know what I mean? It's crazy. First of all, those mountains ain't no joke. So we was talking about, like, just terrain and stuff. It is not a joke. I've traveled through that stuff. It's no joke. It's definitely different from here. We weren't built for that. What else happened in the documentary? We had the whole Iraq thing. That shit was really when, like, the propaganda and shit was, like, on 100. Like, these dudes were lying about why we were there. You know, they said weapons of mass destruction. And they just show all these media clips. Weapons of mass destruction. No one, it feels like, I'm sure someone asked, but no one ever was like, well, like, what's the intel? Like, obviously, they're not going to tell you the exact intel, but, like, why do y'all think that? You know, I'm sure someone asked that, but that's what I was thinking the whole time. Is like, so where are the clips of them explaining, like, how we know this? Or, like, you know, just something. Because, and it's always a weird thing with us in politics and war and shit, where we, like, broadcast what we're going to do or how many people we have, and I just never understood that. Like, ComSec. Communication security. Like, you learn that in the military. Like, we, when someone dies over there and you're over there, they shut off the internet and the phone for communicational security. But I don't understand how we outline our tactics on our news news networks. Like, even the pullout. I don't understand how we just be advertising when we're pulling out of places and things like that. Like, I don't get it. Even in that documentary, they were talking about how we were putting, I think it was with Obama, how he was talking about, oh, we're going to send this amount of troops in for this amount of time, and then we're going to pull out. Okay, we'll just wait you out then. Okay, we'll just go in a cave, go in some village, whatever, go to Pakistan, wherever, we'll wait you out, and then when you leave, we'll just take back over. I mean, that's what they end up doing anyway. This actually makes Trump not look crazy for negotiating with the Taliban. Like, now, he doesn't look crazy for that. It's easy to throw it out on the screen and it sounds crazy, but nah, it's kind of makes sense. Let's talk about, I wish I had her name. I don't want to go and Google it, but y'all should. One woman. I knew it was one woman. I didn't know it was a black woman. But salute to her, standing tall black women, you know what I'm saying? Only person to vote against the war. Basically, she wasn't even voting against the war. She was voting against basically giving President Bush a blank check to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. And everyone else voted. That's how we end up in Iraq. That's how we end up in Iraq when no one was even thinking about it. And no one even understood why we were there. You hear people saying, like, we didn't have a mission on the documentary. Dude, you know how many times I heard that while I was in theater? Like, oh, we don't even have a mission. And I didn't even understand that. Like, what do you mean? Like, how could we get sent over here? There has to be all these logistics and meetings and this, that, and the third for us to even get orders to go over there, right?
Yeah.
You would think, oh, there's a plan. Like, we got our cavalry over here. We got mechanized infantry over here. You know, there's strategic, tactical plans of why we have people in certain places, you know. There's more gunfights, IEDs going on in these places, so we're going to need these type of units here and there and there. How do you get a whole unit to deploy, to get pre-deployment orders, prepare to deploy, deploy, get over there and realize we don't actually know what we're going to do with these people?
It sounds good.
I tell people who I'm close to when I do open up about stuff, I don't remember the unit. It's in Alaska. It's a striker brigade. So y'all can look this shit up. When I was in Afghanistan, no, my bad, Iraq. This brigade was, like I said, out of Alaska. They got sent back to the States. Like, their deployment was over. While in the airport, unless I was told the wrong story, some of these guys got back on U.S. land and got sent back. And people died. And I don't understand. I bring this up because I don't understand how you don't plan this shit. How someone could be coming back. Not even, forget the fact that they got on U.S. soil for right now. Just the fact that you think you're going home. And then somebody be like, nah, you're not. We actually need you to stay. How's that not planned? Because when I was on rotation, we knew when we were going. Before we went, we knew when we were coming back. Not coming back to the States. I meant coming back again.
Yeah.
Coming back again. So how could you not, how could you have a plan for someone to go there for a year and wait till they get back home to get to the airport? Now, if someone wants to correct me and this was some shit that I got told back then and some bullshit, by all means, I'm willing to hear it. But from my knowledge, that's what happened. And then ties into this is just like, how do you send all these people, these soldiers, these military service members over there, not knowing what they're there to do? And how you could just send someone's kids to a country that you know they're likely people are going to die for made up shit. It was made up shit. It's still no evidence.
You're thinking too small. They're not thinking of someone's kids. Like, you sign your life. I no offense to anyone that does it.
No, you do.
You sign your life away. You are an asset now. You are not someone's child.
Yeah.
You are a number to be played on that table.
And to be clear, no one should be offended by that. No one should be offended by that because in the military, like, I'm going to give you an example. Yeah, no one should be offended by that just for some of the fact that in the military, if you go get a sunburn, you can get an Article 15 for damaging government property. That's a fact. That's not made up shit. It's a fact. So they tell you what they think of you, right?
Like, I did the same thing. The January 6th insurrection at the Capitol when old woman got shot and there was like, she was a veteran. Now I was like, oh, I'm sympathy out the window. She already signed her life up to fly thousands of miles to get shot.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's the informed pod, man.
I'm saying like you sign your life away with the full possibility. Like, there's a hero, you know. That's the other propaganda thing, you know. The be a hero, serve your country. Who are you a hero to? Like, one man's hero is another man's, you know, terrorist. Like,
that's a
terrorist over there. They're fucking heroes to some people. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that the Taliban are heroes. I'm not saying Al-Qaeda is heroes, but they're somebody's hero. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It might be the minority. It definitely seems like it is the minority. They just have most of the artillery to go behind it. But like, they're somebody's hero. Somebody is looking up to them because they are representing somebody's beliefs. Yeah. And that's somebody's hero. Everyone's the bad guy to somebody's story. So the whole justice trope that we play, that's why I don't know if I can really get behind it, because there's someone's lives being destroyed behind our brand of justice.
Mm-hmm. And I want to share something. I tell people when I get close to them and I can open up about this, because I don't speak on a lot of that shit just willingly. And I honestly think 9 out of 10 veterans who do that, they ain't been through shit or they're regurgitating other people's stories. So this is something I experienced. Like, I saw this. I ain't gonna say what I did over there, really. I don't get to, but I used to handle evidence for Special Forces guys, for Navy SEALs, and some other units, but mostly Special Forces guys and Navy SEAL guys. So we would translate. Like, we get, documents, and we had to send them to get translated. And I remember one case we had. It was a night letter that was left at someone's house, and it basically was from the Taliban saying, if you don't join us, we're going to put a bomb in your mom's garden, and one day she's going to be doing whatever, and it's going to go off. That's an example of how you end up being the Taliban. I'm not saying everyone or even a big percentage, because I don't know, of people who join the Taliban and these kind of organizations. I'm not saying that that's how most of them get into it, but imagine if it's anarchy outside of your village or inside your village, and then you get that on your door. It's like, we're going to kill your mom if you don't join us. Sometimes it's as simple as that. That's how a terrorist or so-called terrorist is created. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times, I look at things differently. I've experienced dozens, not exaggerate, dozens of people that deployed with me and in one deployment die. I done been to dozens of rampside ceremonies, and people who know what that is. And so I have just as many reasons as anyone else who served to feel like they're pieces of shit and all this other stuff. But see, me, I don't look at this shit from a propaganda like point of view. Like, I don't drink the Kool-Aid. Cause I can think for myself. You get brainwashed and you go in the military, and it's your job to figure out that you are an individual and think on your own. You know what I'm saying? And you can understand how someone could become a terrorist in that situation. And you can see the perspective from this documentary on how they can. Like I said, I want to be very clear. I don't condone that shit. I don't think you should take out a group of people who have nothing to do necessarily or directly with whatever you got going on. You know what I'm saying? So I don't condone that shit. But I can understand how you can get to that point. You know, it might not be easy for a lot of Americans to understand, particularly privileged ones, because they've always had their foot on someone's neck. And so they don't understand how having their foot on your neck, how you could be like, fuck this shit. You know what? I'm just going to spray the whole block. I'm just spraying the whole block. If you understand the spray the whole block mentality, you can understand that. You know what I mean? So that's kind of my take on that. There's a lot of propaganda in that, and it comes out when you watch the documentary, like, damn, it's a lot of fucking propaganda. It's a lot of great marketing on what America is, on what it is to be an American. And it's bullshit. It's bullshit, I think, if you're a thinking person, if you're a logical person, if you can come up with your own conclusions and shit. So,
I will that's say what I took from it. It is bullshit. I won't say it is bullshit, like, as a whole. I think there is more bullshit than is what is normally willingly shared. But, because, like I said, I'm not here, like, I'm not caping for Al-Qaeda or terrorists. Because at the end of the day, like, there is overwhelming evidence that they're pushing their own, they're doing something similar. Like, just what you said, they're doing something similar on their own soil. They're kind of the same thing. You're taking isolated incidents, extrapolating it over time. You're showing, hey, look at what this is happening here. This is what's going to happen in the future. You join now to stop this from this, that, and the third. Could happen, could not happen. Could be like half as bad as what they're talking about. Could have been twice as bad. We'll never know. Why? Because they took shit to the extreme and it's all reactionary now. Everything's a reaction to something. It's like, how can you just let that happen? You know, like, it's like when you are at, you know, lunch table and someone's, you know, roasting you in school or whatever. And it was like, oh, you just gonna sit there and take that? No. Eventually, someone's gonna, you know, take a joke too far. Throw hands. The person that gets punched, they're gonna punch back. And now you just got punches throwing. Why? Was it really that serious to begin with? No. Probably not. But a lot of the times, it all comes with an aggressor. And I can say that we were definitely the aggressor. And while even though now we might be reacting to escalated aggression, like, we were the aggressor, like, that started a lot of this shit. Now, like I said, they reacted beyond over, like 9/11 was, like, so beyond over the top of anything that we aggressed over there. Because we're talking, like,
but that was the same thing.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor's the only time we've actually been attacked. Like, on soil.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about it, like, ever since the French got out of, or the British out of Canada, you know what I'm saying? Like, that War 1812 shit. You know, all that shit, like, we're talking about in the last 150 years or so since the Civil War. We've never been attacked. Like, that shit's foreign to us, so we panicked. And we're going OD over there. And then we finally got out, and now we realize a lot of that shit was for what?
Yeah. So this is probably the last thing I'm going to say on it. I really do wish y'all watch it, because they hit everything, but they hit on torture.
We did not talk about that. That shit was nasty. And even though I, like, had knowledge, I had some knowledge, like, reading of that shit, just when you see it, like, when you see people talking about it, it's, yeah. If you don't watch for anything else, you have to understand how real life that shit is.
Yeah.
Just to watch and listen to that whole process be explained. I will say that.
The torture. Oh, yeah. So Bush was saying all this shit and mosques and shit about how it's not going to be like a witch hunt. It's not going to be a war on Muslims and stuff. That absolutely happened. See, here's the thing that people like. This is another propaganda that even citizens push, is that 9/11 brought us all together. No, the fuck it didn't. No, it didn't. Not if you were Muslim or looked like you were Muslim or Middle Eastern. And until this day, it's still like that. It's just not as bad as it was immediately after. Like, all that Asian hate stuff, It was 1,000 times worse than that. Because they were going and going to motherfuckers' house, business, and just snatching niggas up.
You know what I'm saying? Pulling them out the street, trashing, you know, shops and shit like that. Like, that shit was bad.
I'm telling you, dog. So don't let them, if you weren't around during that time, so you don't remember, or if you just don't remember, it was bad, man. It was fucking bad. And I remember at the time I had Muslim friends.
Elementary school, like, just growing up in school, like, just hearing shit about, like, jokes about other kids that were Muslim and shit like that, like, that shit was bad. Like, people were saying, like, kids' parents were, like, afraid at the time.
They call sand niggas, all that shit, man. I'm telling you, all that shit,
like, I actually, like, I didn't really fathom exactly how bad it was at the time. It's like, I was in, like, second, third grade, you know, those years, second, third, fourth grade. And I'm like, I mean, niggas is joking and shit. Like, that was growing up my reality. Like, I had no real concept of life outside of that. And it was kind of coming out of that that I realized how fucked that entire situation was.
What else did they have on there that they hit? I don't even think they hit on, like, how fucked up soldiers are after the fact. I don't think they hit on that necessarily. Nah. I think the Marine, he said some shit. A lot of the stuff he was saying.
The one that was crying?
Yeah, man, it gave me chills because, I mean, I related to so much. I felt everything, like, for real. Like, I think I'll wrap it up with this. You know, Taliban took back Afghanistan. I was listening to a podcast this morning. We were talking about the new regime, how it's going to be. They said it won't be the democracy, but they're going to let women live, basically. But they'll have to, you know, get chaperoned to go to certain places. And they'll be able to work and go to school, but it'll be separate of what men's school and work is doing and shit like that. I just hope it gets better for them. And, I mean, we should have never been there. We should have been looking for Bin Laden, but a whole fleet of people going over there probably should have never happened. And we definitely shouldn't have been in Iraq. And I just want to say rest in peace to all the people who lost their lives, to the families that were affected, to the people who would never be the same again. I think that's what the Marine said. That's what hit me the most because I'm 90%, according to the VA, 90% disabled, and it's all because of that. Like, I joined at 17. I was in basic training a week out of high school. And a year later, I was in Iraq. And I've never slept more than 5 hours straight since then. I have anxiety, depression. I have PTSD. I'm diagnosed with PTSD and insomnia. So, like, that's just me, and I didn't have it, like, you know, therapists tell me not to try to compare my shit to other people's, not downplay my shit, but you can't help but to. Like, I worked, supported special forces guys who were kicking in doors, hunting guys like high value targets like Bin Laden, right? So I always be like, man, I ain't have it as bad as them, so, you know, how can I complain? But you can't control what affects you. So you could never see combat and have PTSD. People get PTSD from car accidents, all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, from a lot of different things. And if you ever want to talk about that, we can talk about that or have a different kind of podcast to talk about all that shit. But I really feel for those people because they're still suffering. Like, every day is me trying to overcome the effects of those wars. And so I think that's a lot that people look at the death toll and stuff, but they don't think about all the people who are still dealing with that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it feels like you're dying inside. And it's, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being real. Look at the rate of suicide for vets and all that stuff. They're not killing themselves just for nothing. Because it literally sometimes feels like you are dying inside. And you have to live with the shit that you did and you saw. And all the people you lost, that shit isn't normal. Regardless of how people try to make this shit seem like it's normal to lose friends or lose acquaintances, people you literally roll on a plane like 18 hours with or trained with and, you know, met their family and stuff like that. I think next time, like, I remember when Iran, that whole Iran shit was happening, people were bloodthirsty for a war that they weren't going to fight them themselves. Think about that shit before you start being like, let's go to war. You could even forget about all the people who were killed and stuff like that. Think about the people coming back with missing limbs, the people who are never going to be right up here. It don't matter how strong you are. You can't stop that shit. You feel me? So I would implore people to think about that in presidents in the future. Obviously, they're not going to see this, but to think about that shit before you just send people, because there are people over somewhere to fight a war for whatever dumbass reason you have. You got anything, any last thing on this topic before we wrap up with our streaming recommendations? Yeah, by all means.
I had a question. So everything you just said about your the way it personally affects you, the way you know that it affects other soldiers who went over there and served, how does your perspective on your experiences change, kind of getting more insight behind what went into it? Like the fact that you were subjected to all of that, and it's kind of like for this.
I don't know if it even changed, because I think I already, like I said, I didn't come into this naive. It just like painted the picture more vividly. It was like some abstract shit, and this documentary was just me getting closer and being like, oh shit, okay, I see the whole fucking thing now. Like, and did it change anything? I don't know if it ever changed anything. My experience definitely changed how I felt about the military. I do think it's for some people. I'm not here to shit on the military, and it has done things for me. It definitely has. I'm not going to ever shit on it without saying that there was good stuff too, and I benefited from it. And even in today, like I have certain things I'm disciplined. My routine is because of that. But I would never let my daughters. Dude. I would never say it again.
No, I just said family benefits too.
Yeah, but I would never like recommend to my daughters to join the military. But that's for kind of a whole nother reason. But if I had a son, let's just say I had a son, I would not. I would be like, exhaust all other possibilities. I don't think I would ever recommend for someone to sign their life away either, like to someone or a thing or entity anyway. But especially one that can send you to your death or change basically your life forever in a bad way.
Because I will say, like, same thing you said, I was going to finish with something a little more positive. I've seen a lot of people whose lives have been changed by the military. Mm-hmm. Like entire trajectories change, you know, coming from situations where they had nothing, where they might not have been on the best path directionally for where they wanted to go. And military gave them an option, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone, college, school is not a route for everybody. As much as people push that, it's not for everybody. It shouldn't be. The work life it is what it is. There's opportunities, and the military is a legitimate option. And I'm not here to say that the military, for individual soldiers and people, I'm not saying that they're the problem. A lot of things that I'm talking about is way above anybody's face that you could walk by on the street and recognize. You would not recognize these names walk by the street, while I'm on the street. So it's just people that, I feel like in the military, I kind of feel some kind of sympathy towards, because I'm not enlisted. I have family, friends, all that shit in it, but I personally, like you said, could never sign my life away. Besides the conscription notice that you have to do or whatever. But I do feel that sympathy for them, because it's like, I kind of always read up on shit like this, and I'm like, I don't know if like, so many people actually know, like, when you talk about you go over and a dozen people that you went with don't make it home. And it's like, and then you see it's for that. And I'm like, I don't know if I could cope with that. Like, I already know, like, I already hardly can cope with some shit in life. Yeah. I don't know if I can cope with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it blows my mind, and I'm not even in it. So that's why I was like, I see someone like you, and I see you go strong every day on your shit, right? And you have a much more clear perspective of yourself and your mental state, because I mean, you'll take time off from whatever You'll get your head straight and all that shit. You're super aware. And I know a lot of people are not like you. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of sympathy for people like that because, like you said, they take that route, that other route. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what I will say is I do agree with you that I'm super aware, but that came from hurting a lot of other people. You know what I'm saying? And I feel bad for that. And think about, like, the man you or woman you end up becoming that you like, it usually comes from either being hurt or hurting other people. And so sometimes the life ends before you get to redeem yourself. Like, you go too far or, you know, you got soldiers who kill people or kill themselves or whatever. Or it might not even be that serious, but are just toxic and stuff like that. You know, people need help, man. A lot of these people need help. Some of them don't even know they need help. You know what I'm saying? So it took a lot. And I will have probably another podcast where I go down that road of some of my stuff that I will share with people that I probably have only shared with like a handful of people ever. And we'll do that. Yeah, man, check this shit out. I think it should be in high school, be shown in history class, middle school, whatever. I personally think so. This is a great documentary. It shows all these different sides of shit. And these are motherfuckers who was on board. So it's not like they just went and got people to fit a narrative they wanted to tell. Nah, they got people who probably were for the war and shit. And you know what I mean? And then they seen the outcome and now they're explaining, you know, what happened, you know, with that shit. So it's a great documentary. Check it out. After this break, we're going to get to streaming recommendations and then wrap this up. Stay tuned. Be right back. We're back to give y'all our streaming recommendations. I will start off. We're going to do a TV show, movie, podcast, and if you want a book, I'm going to just go with the first three. So TV show, I'm going to recommend Lie to Me. It's on Hulu right now. It's starring Tim Roth. He's a doctor. He also has a partner who's a doctor, but I believe she's a psychiatrist or psychologist. But he is like an expert on figuring out people lying through facial expressions, body language, stuff like that, science and shit. It's funny, dramatic, it's good, very interesting. Movie, Honest Thief, I believe that's on Amazon Prime. Liam Neeson, basically this dude used to rob banks and they gave him a name or whatever. He was really good at it, never got caught. He meets a woman and he wants to be honest with her and live an honest life, so he contacts the FBI to confess, turn in the money, he wanted to negotiate a plea so he could go ahead and do a, you know, time really quick, get back to his woman. What happens? Gotta watch the movie to find out what actually happens. Mm-hmm. And then for podcast, The Daily, so the New York Times daily podcast. This is actually where I got a lot of information from some of the stuff we talked about today. And I don't listen to every episode, but stuff that piques my interest is a good one to have because I got a lot of sports shit on my podcast app, and I be wanting to like learn and just get other stuff other than sports and stuff like that. So those are my streaming recommendations. How about you?
All right, let's start with a book. The Day the Street Stood Still. I don't know if you ever heard of Jaquavis Coleman.
Oh, I have heard of him. I think I actually follow him. The Day, yeah. What is it called?
The Day the Street Stood Still.
Mm-hmm.
The classic, you know, Black American stereotypical street story. You know, young man comes up in the game. You know, he was right. His mother was in the game. You know, he saw it firsthand, and then she ended up getting done in, you know, street shit. And then he ends up growing up, taking the reins, you know, and then kind of having it all, running his own industry, you know what I'm saying? Getting in, getting dirty with it. You know, he's got a, you know, a couple shawties that he gets, you know, into it with or whatever. It's a real interesting story, man. You know, a lot of, you know, compelling story, a lot of betrayal, a lot of personal struggles, kind of behind the man that it kind of takes to go through something like that. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Jaquavius. Him and his wife be writing books together, a lot of books. They be pumping
they do. Out. There's another one that I read by him called The White House. That one's centered around a black woman. Love that one, too.
Yeah. If I can, I'm going to share something that he said, and I might not be quoting it directly, but it meant a lot to me, and I'll take this with me. He said on a podcast like a few years ago when I got aware of him, he said, you die twice. When you die, and the last time someone says your name, I want to live forever. And that's how I try to like live life, thinking about that and impacting people's lives so that they always keep my name alive and I never die. Anyway, that was my little fake deep moment.
I've heard, I mean, there's cultures where they had, you know, similar stuff like that. You know, African cultures, it's in Mexican culture too. So like that's like people can remember you, say your name. You know, that's why they have those, I forgot which African culture it is, because there's a lot of African culture that's super broad. That's not. But, you know, they have like, you know, orators, you know, that keep verbal histories to keep people's names and spirit alive. So, I mean, I believe in, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, The Day the Street Stood Still, fantastic book. I hate to say it, but I don't really consume a lot of media that's not anime or sports.
Okay. So, no TV shows, no movies
or podcasts? Podcasts. I mean, we already talked about sports shit. So, I mean, pick up podcasts. Definitely recommend that one.
For sure. For
boys. Nah, but, yeah, that, what is it? BOMM? Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. Yeah. That whole line, because they got different shows on that channel, but that whole line of shows, I keep up with that one pretty, because they delve into outside topics. It's not just sports. They're centered around sports personalities, but they delve deep into culture, you know, just educational shit. You know, Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. You know, that's what it's about. And I'm all for that. So shout out to them up there.
All right.
And if I had to plug a TV show, I'm going to plug an anime. So I'm going to say, if you're not watching Jujutsu Kaisen, I mean, get on that. Attack on Titan comes back. Catch up on Attack on Titan before it comes back in January. That's for anybody. That's like an anime that you don't got to like anime to like Attack on Titan. It's a genuinely good-ass show.
I might. Is it on Netflix? Or Hulu or Amazon?
On Hulu. Hulu.
Okay. Maybe one day I could try to give it a shot. I don't hate it. I don't shit on none of it. I've never been into cartoons that much to begin with, even as a kid. Like, I remember watching Transformers maybe first, second grade. And I used to be big on Ninja Turtles, like, before that. But, like, around that time is when I just stopped watching cartoons, and I've never been able to. Like, I've watched some Boondocks. Even that, I haven't seen every episode of that. I think it's hilarious, but I, like, don't go out of my way a lot of times to watch it. I don't know. It's just, even, like, Bill Burr, he has a cartoon on Netflix that I heard is funny, but I don't know. I just don't watch. I don't watch, like, animated shit for some reason. Huh?
Is it the fact that it is animated?
I don't know. I think that's what it is. But I don't know why. Maybe in my head, I think it's some childish shit. But I don't, like, I don't actually judge people, like, when they're, like, y'all be tweeting about anime, I have no idea what y'all talking about. But I don't be like, oh, man, they need to grow the fuck up. No, I just be like, yo, I'm just not into it. One of my best friends, he was, like, into that. And I was just like, oh, okay.
if we're plugging, you know, recommendations, and I'm talking about Attack on Titan, you know, it's a very deep anime. Like you say, I'm glad you brought up the childish thing, because that's the first thing is like cartoons or whatever. It's like, it's animated. It's far from childish. There's nothing childish about, you know, first episode. It's people's dying. People's dying, okay? Like, the whole time. And you're seeing it. There's nothing childish about it. And it's not some, you know, like, no, people getting, like, fucked up. And it's pretty bad. It's pretty badass to see how, you know, it's, you know, people rising up. You know, there is all kind of same shit we're talking about here. Military play, you know, narrative drawn up. It was like, well, who's the real bad guy then? Because you hear it from one perspective for a long time. And it's like, damn, these niggas finally getting they do. And then you hear they flip the script and they go to the other side. Like I said, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. So it kind of blurs the line a little bit. Who's right, who's wrong? Because now you're attached to both sides a little bit. And you're kind of seeing it's based on kind of a war. And, you know, it's really interesting when you get down to the nitty gritty of it. And that's all I'll say about it, in case someone actually wants to go watch and see what I'm talking about. But it's a lot of fucked up shit that goes on. And it kind of, you're going to parallel it to real life.
Yeah. I'd probably be more towards that because I'm more towards reality type stuff. Even when I watch, like, you know, real live action stuff, like, I'm not into sci-fi, really.
It's fantasy concept. Don't get me wrong. Like, okay. The actual shit, like, it's about Titans, you know. Yeah. Titans aren't real. They're fucking 20-foot tall things that eat humans. Like, of course, that shit's not real. But, you know, the societal aspects of it, you know, the sociological parts of it. Yeah. You know, that shit is very real. And isolated communities and countries and shit, warring and shit like that, all that shit that goes in, that's very real.
I think you can get me if there's enough real stuff in it. Even, like, I would say in the last 5 years, I've been more open to watch, like, superhero movies because, like, The Dark Knight and shit like that, it got more, it would start looking, like, more real, kind of, like, real-life shit. But even then, like, that opened a door for me to be like, all right, if it's not too much of that shit, of, like, the superhero shit, if it's, like, part that and part, like, some realistic shit, you can get me to kind of sign on.
Yeah, more stories, less power, basically.
You know what I'm saying? So, man, just open up your mind to possibly trying some new shit. Even me, sometimes I'm like, yo, I'm not into that shit. Every now and then, some shit surprises me, man. You know, and I think it's how we grow. You know what I'm saying? Spend that palate. You know what I mean? I appreciate you, my brother, for coming on. I mean, dog, I'm going to have a chore. It's going to be a chore to edit this down. It's going to be a chore to edit this down. But I appreciate it. You gave some great insight, as always, which I knew you would do. Shit, this might be the first one I release. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to figure some shit out. But I appreciate your time. And guess what, y'all? We got to go record this sports podcast right after this. So yeah, man. We're going to get back to work. I appreciate y'all watching, listening. And, man, hopefully I'll give us some feedback. The AntFarmPodcast@gmail.com. The AntFarmPods on Twitter. The AntFarmPodcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or you can hit me. You know what I'm saying? Have your girl hit me. Because I'm going to hit her. I'm out.